I'm going to ask Bob to come and to lead us first in looking at one of those passages that we looked at on that day. And he's going to come and then I'll come up to him.
Wow, this is great. This is wonderful. Yeah, just to be able to stand here and get this view. I do wish I could get you up one by one and let you enjoy what I'm enjoying at this moment. It is, yeah, effectively the start of the year. The holidays have finished. New beginnings for many people. New schools for some. First jobs for some. And yeah, as Tony's told you and Lee's reiterated, that the elders spent a day to wait upon God and to seek direction from his word, in discussion, in prayer, and with the confidence that his spirit would shine light on the way to go. And yeah, I'm here to share with you part of that, and my part's from 1 Peter 5, and I'm using scriptures from the New Living Translation. And I saw it as a call to arms, a call to each one of us, a call to arms, the trumpet call to engage in the good fight, the fight of faith. And that's why we're here. We have gathered together to encourage one another to engage in the good fight, the fight of faith. And in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4, there was first of all a word to the leaders. And it says, "And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too," says Peter, "I am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you." And here I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to Tony, I'm talking to Lee. I see David sitting down here too, whom we see as an elder. We see in him those qualities. Yeah, and the appeal is this, to us: care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you'll get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honour. Yeah. Well, we hear that. You all hear it, don't you? But we elders heard it. We hear it today. Lead by example. Lead with enthusiasm. Lead with humility, not lording it, not domineering, but serving, even as the great shepherd would serve. And so we commit ourselves, I commit myself, here and now, to be this kind of leader. Please help me, God. This kind of disciple. And then comes a word to everyone. Verses 5 and 6. "In the same way, you, younger people, must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility. For God opposes the proud, but favours the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honour." We hear the word, don't we? It's humble, humility. How does one acquire humility? Where do we get it from? Where do we best see humility in action? Well, I encourage you, in your own time, meditate on Philippians chapter 2, and we'll see humility in action. We'll see the God of creation humbling himself, giving up, coming down, lowering himself in Jesus to be a servant, to wash feet and to go to the cross. Humility, let this be the hallmark of our community. Everybody sitting in this room, let humility be our hallmark. How will you get it? You will get it by looking at Jesus. Nowhere else. You will see humility in him. And as you behold him, you will be beholding the glory of God. His glory in his humility. The invisible God made visible in the face of Jesus Christ in his very being. So that's our word to one another. Be humble. Seek it. Seek humility. Clothe yourself with humility. And let's encourage one another somehow to do that. And the best way I can think of is look at Jesus. Peter goes on in verses 7 to 9. He says, give all your worries and cares to God in Christ. We can do that. For he cares about you. He's the great shepherd. He cares about his flock. We are his flock, his sheep. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Let it not be you. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith, because that's how you will defeat him. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are, and many of them are doing it much more uncomfortably than we are. But it's our faith, and the key word is remember. Remember the truth. Remember we do have an enemy. We're not on a picnic ride here. We are being contested against at every turn. And sadly, he comes into this room too. If only he would stay outside and leave us alone. But he even infiltrates here. Be aware, we do have an enemy. But be aware of this, that we are safe. We are safe because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing in all creation. Remember that truth and live in it. It's the truth always that sets us free, and the truth that enemy has been defeated at the cross is the one we cling to. We can bid him get lost, and we should, but it's so easy to forget. And yet we have this gathering every Sunday as an attempt in obedience to Jesus, who knows how well we forget. Remember, he's given himself to you. His spirit is alive in you. That is the truth for you to live in. I have been learning in the last few months that not even my own failings, the fact that I don't live up to my own standards, I fall short of what I reckon I should be. I am ashamed. But I've learned that not even that can separate me from the love of God. That he embraces me as I am, failures and all. And while I'm in agreement with him on those points, he says, come with me, we're going on. And nothing. We are so safe from all you might fear. Give all your worries and cares to God, because he cares for you. And we care for you. We care for you because we're his, and it starts with him. It filters down through him to us because of the Holy Spirit. And the last couple of verses in the section, verses 10 and 11, say, In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory. I'm inserting the word now, right now. It's not after we die that this all starts. It's now. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory now, by means of Christ Jesus and the Spirit that he's given to live in us. So, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. As I thought about this and sharing his glory now, my little summary for myself is: breathe the breath of home. Breathe the breath of home. The Holy Spirit, the word spirit in the original languages can also mean breath. It's a great parallel, a great, what's the word, simile for us to understand a little more of the Holy Spirit. Can you breathe? Are you breathing? Well then, think of this as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Breathe the breath of God. Breathe the breath of home. Breathe the breath of glory. Now, now, the breath of eternal life is here for us to enjoy together now.
I should have mentioned before that Riok and Madison here for the first time from the Sunday school. They're coming to this high school and sitting with us, and welcome them. We'll read a paragraph where Paul is talking to a community of believers. Do you know any community of believers? Ah, yeah, there's one right here, isn't there? Community of believers, brothers and sisters, he calls them, to inform them how to live. It's always dangerous to just take a passage of scripture and apply it to us. There's always danger in that, but here there is no danger. We can take this passage and we can apply it to us as a community of believers. The things that Paul says here, he says to us. God says to us through Paul, through the scriptures. And Paul is talking to a community of believers about their attitude towards leaders again, about community discipleship. We as a community, how we have to disciple each other. God's will for you. Do you want to know what God's will for you? I will tell you later on. I will tell you clearly what God's will for you is. What about being open to God's Spirit? Or reassurance, as Bob has already said, that we are going to be safe. First, we're going to look at the attitude to church leaders, and 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. Which reads, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, wherever you read brothers there, you can read sisters. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Our belief here is that church leaders are ordained by God and recognized by the church. God builds up and equips people for leadership, and the church always do well to recognise that. Every leader among the eldership and the deacons have been through a process, this process where we put names before the church and we ask you guys to give comments about their character. That's a pretty confronting process for anyone. To be put up before the church and say, comment to us about a person's character. It's not the most pleasant, but we try to do it in a loving, caring environment. It's quite confronting. But we believe there's a strong understanding from the Bible why we are doing that. We have a good biblical foundation for this process because God ordained and the church recognized. It's not foolproof, but it's the best that we have. Well, it is foolproof, actually, if we listen to the Spirit of God. But, of course, there's times when we don't. It's for this reason that Paul expects the church to respect their leaders, even when it means that you don't agree with them. Church leaders are called to admonish a person. It's not very nice. Have you ever to admonish a person? You want to correct the person to say you're in error? It's not very nice. And Paul says the church is to hold the leadership in highest regard and love because of what they do. But we're not talking about an absolute dictator here. As a part of the eldership, it's good for you to know I'm a part of the eldership, but I submit my life to the other elders. I am in submission to the other elders. I allow them to talk into my life. I know that Bob and Lee, Kath, Spike and Steve, and for David too, while he was with us, do the same. Over this year we've been able to draw in JJ closer so he can actually see that happen. We don't want to raid dictators who are called pastors. We want shepherds who are submissive and humble. But I had to think into a bit deeper why Paul would say after this, live in peace with each other. You know, why would Paul say live in peace with each other? And the only way I can see it is because there were some who were not living in peace with each other. They were not respecting the eldership, they were not respecting the leaders, and so there was conflict in the church. And so Paul had to say to them, live in peace with each other. And I'm just so thankful that we as a church community can live in peace with each other. I know the leadership of the church here do feel respected and loved. I thank God that we live in peace. I know other churches that do not have that peace, that there is conflict and there's great sadness. But love and respect has been my experience, which means we have to continue all the more, don't we, to live in peace with each other. We've been doing that, let's continue on. But let me share with you one of the burdens of leadership. You see, if we encourage you in a way that causes you to stumble, God holds us accountable as leaders. Have you got that? So we encourage you to go a certain way. God says, Tony, Bob and Lee, that was your responsibility. I'm holding you accountable. Now that's a heavy, sobering burden that leaders have to live with. There's no days off that one. There's no mufti days from leadership. And Paul continues, now he's talking to the whole church, community. We're talking about community discipleship, verse 14 and 15. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. We as a community are to warn each other. We are to be helpful, encouraging and patient. He's not talking just to leadership here, he's talking to brothers and sisters, he's talking to all of us. We in the community, we are to make sure that no one pays back evil for evil. How do you do that? Well, it's when you're with people, isn't it, and they start being angry, and they might be angry for a good reason, but then they start sort of talking about, I have to get them back. I have to do something. That's where each one of you need to step in and say, look, you know, I know you're angry, I know it's frustrating, but hey, disciples of Jesus don't do that. We don't live that way. We can't live that way. There's a warning process there. We have to do it for each other. And we need to do it for each other because we all find ourselves in a situation where we get angry. But we want to express our anger in ways that disciples of Jesus would want to. And that's what we have to do for one another. We have to be like this for one another. Because let's remember the teaching in the last couple of weeks. If I'm going to hurt you, I'm hurting Christ himself. Remember, the Spirit of Christ is in us. You remember what Paul was told when Jesus confronted him? Why are you hurting me? When he was Saul. If I go intentionally to hurt you, I'm not hurting you, I might be, but I'm hurting Christ first. How about that? How about punching Jesus in the face? Paul then clarifies the age-old question. What is God's will for my life? Have you ever asked that question? I have. God's will, verse 16 to 18. You ready? Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Remarkably simple, isn't it? Profoundly hard. Be joyful, pray, give thanks. If you say, yeah, God, but I want to know a bit more concretely, what do you want me to do? You'll say, well, be joyful, pray continually, give thanks. Yes, God, but do I have to do something? Do I do this or do I do that? Be joyful, pray continually, give thanks. If you want something more than that, let me ask the question, have you started with that? Are you doing that? Do that, and I bet God will show you exactly what he wants from you. Be joyful, pray continually, give thanks. When you finish that, doing that, come and see me if you still don't know what God's will is for your life. But if you do that perfectly, then come and see me and say, what's next? That'd be fun, won't it? Are you joyful? Do you pray continually? Do you give thanks in every situation? Start here. I'm absolutely sure that's God's will for your life. No doubt. He then tells them to be open to the Spirit of God, 19 and 22. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. You see, we are to be open to the Spirit's leading. At times it needs to be tested. The other part doesn't need to be tested. Be joyful, pray, continually give thanks. That doesn't need to be tested. That's tested. But other things, we need to be open up to the, we need to be open to the Spirit of God. Does God want you to go to a missionary in China? Well, that'll have to be discerned. But I know one thing. You are to be joyful, pray continually, and continually give thanks. Whether God wants to set you aside for a special type of ministry, well, that has to be worked out. Sure, we have to discern that. We seek God's purpose there, but we know these things. He then says that God will bring us wholly, completely to himself, verse 23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. You see, you are being fully and completely saved. God is faithful, he will do it, you will be fully and completely saved. We're not talking about your superannuation, we're not talking about your wealth. Whether that's saved or not, I don't know. But we're talking about you in your entirety. Well, when we looked at this passage, Bob, David, JJ, Lee, I gave them the task, I wasn't actually part of that task, I was out doing something else, to discern, give me one sentence that can sum up these five passages that we looked at today. Give me one sentence that we can present to the church. We tried to be open to the Spirit's leading. We've tested that statement in various ways. We believe we are able to bring you that statement, and we can ask you to take it on. We do so with confidence that this is the Spirit's leading in our life. The statement is expressed in something that you can aim for during 2014. Of course, it's something you cannot do for the rest of your life, but for us, the church, these are the words that we can use to express this in 2014. It's something the elders and deacons have committed ourselves to, and we commend it to each and every one of you today. And here it is on the screen. We aim to be thankful, humble, and enthusiastic disciples of Jesus, in harmony with one another, appreciating his ministry to enable us to be Christ-like in serving others selflessly for his name's sake. So let's let sit in for a moment and repeat it. We aim to be thankful, humble, and enthusiastic disciples of Jesus, in harmony with one another, appreciating his ministry to enable us to be Christ-like in serving others selflessly for his name's sake. We aim to be, it's an intention. This is your intention. You're taking this on. It's your desire. It's something that you're going to commit yourself to work towards. To be thankful, humble, and enthusiastic disciples of Jesus. Because that's the type of disciples that Jesus wants. I remember thankful, humble, and enthusiastic. Say THE, you know, thankful, humble, still the disciples. Okay? Thankful, humble, enthusiastic. I hope you're seeing the words connected with some of the passages we've already seen today. In harmony with one another, appreciating his ministry. This ministry here of we are in unity, in harmony with one another, because we are in harmony with God. Because we're in harmony with God, we can be in relationship with one another, in unity and harmony. God is united, Father, Son, and Spirit. We are in harmony with one another because of Christ's ministry. To enable us to be Christ-like, the Bible talks about this as sanctification. It's a tough word, but it means becoming more like Christ. When we grow to be like Christ. In serving others selflessly. Because love and service have to go together. It's talking about doing it selflessly without thinking, what do I get out of this? And why do we do it? For his name's sake. It is for the glory of God through his Son Jesus Christ that we live and have our being. And this is something that I'm going to ask you to go home and think about. I want you to do it soberly. I want you to have it in your mind. But just have a look at those words again. Just have a look. What jumps out at you and go, oh no, not that. There's probably something there that you think, I'm really going to struggle with that. I've got my words. Boy. It could be, it'll be hard for you to be thankful, humble, enthusiastic. Will it be hard for you to be in harmony with people? True harmony, not just getting along. What about serving? What about selflessly serving? Sounds hard, doesn't it? As you think of these words, you might find one or two that will be your greatest struggle. It'll be the challenge. As I said, I can see my own challenges. But this is not a demand that you try harder. I'm not here to sort of with a whip saying try harder. Throughout Galatians we spoke about how we can do nothing of ourselves, it is the Spirit's work in us. But this statement gives us the key. Don't try to beat yourself into obedience. What I want you to do is to take in and appreciate Christ's ministry. Focus on what Christ has done. Focus on what God has done through you in Christ. And then allow the Spirit of God to lead you in these ways. We are confident that it's in the Christ ministry, as you contemplate, think about this, that you'll be led in these ways. We're sending you out on a mission. I have these. There's Matt and Becky. Everyone's aware of these sorts of things. Here's Alison's in missionary prayer cards. Tim and Sue Jen may have their from YWAM, they probably had their own people, they might have supporters out there with their own sort of and if you've been on a mission, maybe you've had these cards yourself. Today I want to send you home with your own missionary prayer cards. Not so much to give others, but so you know who you are. I've got one up here, a shifty looking character. But look at that. Look at what we're saying there. You're serving God, okay, with Westview Baptist Church in Western Sydney, that's where we are. I had to change it from Matt and Becky, I had to put in Arnhem Land, okay? Because that's where they are. But they're still with Westview Baptist Church. They're still serving God. We aim to be thankful, humble and enthusiastic disciples of Jesus in harming one another, appreciating his ministry to enable us to be Christ-like in serving others selflessly for his name's sake. I searched and tried to find every picture I had of you folk. I didn't have everyone's photo. So if I don't have your photo and like that, I'll have something like this. And it's the collage. There is a picture there with a question mark on the right-hand side that could be you. Okay? So if I don't have your picture, that's you. And if you want your picture on it, just come and see me later. I'll have it to you by next week, okay? I've got a phone in my camera. Where my camera is. My camera is my phone. Okay, so this could be your picture. The leadership have committed ourselves to helping you in any way so that we... Can I say it again? Our commitment to you is we want to help you do this. Okay? We're going to help you in any way we can. We're going to ask you to consider taking this on as your aim. If you're not prepared to do this, I want you to take it home. I want you to think about it for a week. By next week, I'm going to remind you. Have you committed to it? Okay? Everyone's going to walk away with something in their hand. Everyone. Have you committed to this? And if you say, no, it's not for me, I want you to rip it up, okay? I want you to rip it up and throw it away, because that's not for you. You are most welcome to come here every Sunday and sit under the Word of God. You're most welcome. But please understand, that's what we, as a church, are committing ourselves to. If you're not prepared to commit yourself to it, please, rip it up. It's not for you. It wasn't meant for you. It was a mistake. Well, actually, it may be meant for you. But maybe God needs to speak a bit more into your life. Because we believe that this statement could be applied to any believer. Any believer. There's four things we're going to do as a church. We want to encourage you in the home groups. In the bulletin, there's almost all the home groups. I neglected to put in Stu and Steve on a Friday. That's my bad, okay? So home groups is a good way to start, because there you build around, you come around together, share lives. And if you're not in the home group, please, if none of those suit or you'd like to start a new one, I'm very happy and open to having a new one. During the year, we plan to run a few more courses, perhaps a book or a topic, maybe on a Sunday night or a weeknight, and we'd encourage you to take this opportunity. We encourage you to pray together. There are two regular opportunities, once a month, normally on the fourth Sunday of the month, that it's this 16th or 17th February this month, and then a Thursday morning. But other times, pray together. And we'd like to start what we did a few years ago. We'd like to, remember when we had interviews, David, you come up and do interviews and you get to hear and understand something of people's lives. We want to do that again, just so that we can share a bit more of each other's lives together. So I've got my helpers. Can my helpers come out? I've got my helpers all planned. And fortunately, you guys are creatures of the habit. You sit in the same sort of area. So everyone is going to get something. That's just great. What's that group having there? So just give them a few minutes. Maybe put out the pictures that I have. I'm sorry, I had you over there, didn't I? There's two. Like, there should be one for each person here. If you're a married couple, you have to make your own choice, don't you? Like, you really do have to make your own choice. I don't want you to tell me if you've ripped it up. You're free to tell me if you have. Yeah. You might like the picture. If I have somehow didn't have your picture or somehow slipped up, there you'll have one of the other ones. Do all yours have? They got theirs early. As you'll see, most of them are from the church directory, but I'm quite serious about, if this is not for you, throw it out. Don't be a hypocrite, okay? Be honest with yourself. I see he's not here. Oh, June's not here. Can I give that to Michelle for spots?
Okay.
How are we going? Is there anyone in here who doesn't have something in their hand that was just given to them? I wasn't expecting you here at the time, but it's embarrassing. Okay. A challenge has been set before you. I was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone here had never committed themselves to Jesus? This may be the day. But by saying yes to this, you become a believer. You're a child of God. You walk out here and you are changed. The Spirit of God. Simply by new altar calling, hand out pictures and you go and rip it up, you're a believer. Because you're saying yes to Jesus. Well, next week you'll probably hear something about it too, right? We'll put that up there. That's the jumbo size one. Let me pray.